Chapter 8. Satu stood beside his friend Hans, but fear paralyzed him, and he could not take his eyes from the witch doctor, who clutched the big teacher's arm and moaned as though someone had struck him with a spear. The teacher patted Tama's shoulder and tried to soothe him enough so that he could talk. All the people had run out of their huts and stood watching and listening. They could all understand what the red-haired man was trying to say. He kept asking Tama, "Where is Marta? Do you know where Marta is?" Tama shook his head. It seemed to Satu that all Tama could do now was to shake his head over and over. But at last he spoke in a choked voice, "I didn't see her. I didn't see her. It's the curse, the snake curse." The big teacher didn't understand at first. He still patted Tama's shoulder and tried to figure out what the witch man had said. But the man's voice was so strangled and full of quivers that even Satu could scarcely make out the words. Finally, Satu went to the teacher. He stood right in front of him and told him what Tama had said. He sounded every word by itself, so the red-haired man could understand. "He says he doesn't know where Marta is, but he thinks something bad has happened to her because of the snake curse." A smile spread over the big teacher's face. "What is this snake curse he talks about?" "It must be some curse he has laid against your family," Satu said. "He has powerful spirit charms, you know. He has teeth and skulls of animals and roots and seeds, but his strongest charm is a dried snake." "Oh, that must be what Marta told us about when she went to Tama's house the other day," Hans said. "She said she blessed the poor snake, remember?" Satu shivered. "She must have picked the snake up. Tama had already laid the curse upon it, I suppose. This is dangerous, you know." He took hold of Hans and shook him a little. "Something bad has surely happened to Marta. Tama's curses always work." Satu looked at Tama. He thought he had never seen anyone's face so miserable. Everyone stood there looking at the witch man. The teacher looked at him too, but he still kept his hand on Tama's shoulder. "Look here, my friend," the big teacher said. "We don't know where Marta is, but I'm sure she's all right. She must have wandered off somewhere. Now all you people stand right here where you are. I will ask the god we worship to show you that the snake curse cannot touch those who worship him." Then the red-haired man lifted his eyes and talked to the sky. The words he said were loud and powerful, and the people trembled, although they couldn't understand. When the words were finished, the big teacher smiled and said to Tama, "Now help us. We must find the child. She cannot have gone far. She has only been gone since we ate breakfast this morning." It was Tama who found Marta, and Satu was right behind him. They had pushed into the jungle past the spring, and there they found the little girl with a bunch of wildflowers in her hand. She had stripped them from a jungle vine. When Tama came towards her, she held out both arms to him and tried to give him the bouquet of blossoms. The witch doctor lifted her in his arms and held her close. Satu walked behind them, and he saw the shaking of Tama's shoulders and knew that the witch man tried to put down his great joy at finding little Marta unhurt. At the spring they met the whole village, for everyone seemed to have the same idea, that Marta must have gone into the jungle. Tama put the child in her father's arms and turned to go back to his hut. The teacher took hold of his arm. "Tama, you see the child is unhurt. You are not to grieve or worry any more. No spirit curses can hurt this little girl." Satu and Hans stood close to the big teacher. They watched Tama go back to his hut. "You see," the big man said, He loves little Marta. He is afraid of his own witch magic. He looked down at the two boys. God is pulling on Tama's heart, you will see. It was evening of the next day when someone saw the chief's fishing boat. It was still only a speck on the horizon, but excitement ran through the village like a flame, and all the people flocked to the landing place and waited for the boat to pull into the wharf. Hans was there with Satu, and both boys strained for the first view of the teachers of Islam. There were three of them, smiling brown men with faces much like the people of Great Sangar. Two of them were young, but one, Satu was sure he must be the leader, was older. He wore a red cap on his head, and Satu thought his eyes looked cold, like polished pebbles in the water. All the men acted friendly to everyone, and when the chief led them to his own house, the whole village followed and watched to see what the newcomers would do and say. For one thing, Satu knew already that these men spoke the language of his people easily. He had heard their voices. He also heard the name of the short, stocky man who was their leader. He was called Guru Mula. The following morning, Chief Meriden sent a messenger to every house in the village, telling them that now he would make a great feast because the new teachers had come. It would be a feast of welcome, and the people must all cook and bring their best palm wine and make merry in order to show the new teachers honor and kindness, because these men had brought wonderful new magic from the southern islands. The feast was set for the fourth day from then. Immediately the whole village seethed with excitement. In every house the women began preparation for the feast. Tama came out of his house and mingled with the village people and acted like his old self again. Only in the house on the sand was there no change and no excitement. There was only the beautiful singing at morning and evening, and a great deal of looking into the black book, and still more of talking to the God of Heaven. Satu had learned at last that when the big teacher lifted his eyes to the sky or to the roof of the house, he was talking to God, who lived far beyond all things that men can see, up behind the stars. Another thing that Satu had learned was that when the teacher opened the holy book and laid it on his knees, he was not talking to the book of magic. He was reading from it words that had been written there long ago. So long ago that no living man could remember back so far. The evening after the feast was announced, only a few people came to the house on the sand to hear the singing and the words of God. Satu came, and a few others, but the rest of the village people were so eager to prepare for the great feast that they had no time for singing or listening. They were so busy that most of them had no time or thought for the fire mountain. The day after the Islam teachers came, Satu went alone to his perch high among the rocks. He sat there for a long time, trying to collect his thoughts and to understand what was happening around him in the village. One thing he knew for sure: the battle between the magic of the big teacher and the new teachings of Islam had already begun, and that his father, Chief Meriden, was on the side of the Islam teachers. As he sat there and wondered what might happen next, he could not help seeing that now the fire mountain seemed to throw out more fire than it ever had before, and the trembling of the ground was more than usual. Even the sounds of the deep growlings and thunderings in the solid earth rumbled louder than Satu remembered. If the fire spirits had been angry before, now they raged with fury.